Blog Talk Radio.
The great city playboys, they're always around to help build your hope up, then help drag you down. They'll leave you with nothing worth singing about.
Good evening. It is February 22nd. It's a Thursday night in 2018, and you're checking in with your smoking nephew, Blazing Rye. This is Blazing Rye Backstage, where we take you behind the curtain. And I would like to welcome the co-host to the Blazing Rye Backstage program, the Nyberg to my Terzi, the Smith to my Kuntz, the Sade to my Batarinwa, Mr. Jonathan Weeks. Mr. Jonathan Weeks, how are you, man?
Good, man. I'm doing great.
The angel opens her eyes, pale blue-colored eyes, presents a circle.
Yeah.
It's the glory of too high, ooh. High. I feel it coming back again, like a rolling thunder, chasing the wind, voices pulling from the center of the earth again. I can feel it. I can feel it.
Ooh, yeah.
We got a little share going in there. That sounds, I can feel it coming back again, like a rolling. If I could turn back time.
If I could turn back time.
The angel opens her eyes. Now it sounds like Cosby. The angel opens her eyes, pale blue colored eyes, presents the circle, it's the glory up too high, high. And then Cher comes back. Oh, I feel it coming back again, like a rolling. And then Cosby, thunder, chasing the wind. Voices pulling from the center of the earth again. Oh, I can feel it.
That is the best duet I've ever heard in my entire life.
That's a duet ready to happen in 1975. But what's going on with you, Manus?
Not much, Manus. I went back to the Hamden, the Elm City, the past week. I got some good-ass Modern's pizza.
Nice.
It's good to be back in Connecticut, though, seriously. Great place, great state. You know, places like Virginia make me want to go back to Connecticut that much more. This place sucks. But Connecticut, I got to say, great place, great state. We got to get back there. We got to see the Maine. We gotta get the
names
back together. The clan.
The clan? I wouldn't call it that.
That's right.
Unless you're talking about Andrew.
Andrew's a good kid. You know, I had to throw away all of his gifts because the airport didn't let me take any of that stuff, you know. The Coke bottles.
Oh, really?
The bottle helps throw everything away.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just making sure my mic is on the right setting here. Yeah, well, it's the busiest airport in the world, isn't it? The Atlanta airport. I don't know why that is. Why the hell Atlanta, out of all places, is the busiest?
Yeah, you would think that, well, it could be busy because everybody wants to get the hell out of there.
But you can't. You can't. You got to walk 5 miles through the airport to get anywhere.
You're right. I hate that airport. I hate that city. But that wedding was surprisingly very normal. I don't know what the hell's going on over there.
So for people just tuning in for the first time, by the way, I'm very nervous that our Fogarty understudy will not call in tonight because he's a very absent-minded person. So I'm very nervous about that.
He better be ready.
I know. By the way, I don't mean to be
yes.
I'm not trying to be rude here, but is Miss Daisy dead?
Oh. I'm sorry, that should not be laughing.
Come on,
you
man.
You asked a very legitimate question. She may be, I don't know.
Because here's the thing. Fogarty posted as his status last night something about finally free from stress and worry and finally can sleep good night chickens or something like that. And then people were like, oh, thank you for sharing your stories about Miss Daisy over the years, some blah, blah. I think she may have died.
Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at him right now. I think she did. Oh, my goodness.
Do you see anything, any signs that would indicate whether she's alive or not?
I think a lot of the comments are, you know, pretty much along the same path as, like, you know, you lost your mother. But nobody really said anything outright about it. He didn't say anything about it either. So.
Right, which is so weird for him.
It's a very strange statement, too, yeah. And he didn't say anything else about it. I think she may have passed. Young Daisy.
Yeah. I think so. Yes, although you find it quite funny, but our condolences to our dear friend Tom Fogarty, who should be back in 2 weeks from tonight. We think so. We're not even sure. We might be giving premature condolences. Is that something? Premature condolences?
That's true. Well, then we're extra, you know, considerate, I think.
People were given Abe Vigoda premature condolences for like 50 years. But let me tell you what happened. First off, do you have any plans for this upcoming weekend?
I got nothing planned at all. This is a
And what's so
weekend.
Bad about what?
This is like a sleep all weekend kind of weekend.
Oh, okay. Well, what's so bad about Virginia? Every new place you move, you say you prefer Connecticut. Why don't you just fucking move to Connecticut and stay there?
I know. Well, you speak the truth. You speak nothing but the truth, my friend. You're right. Uh-huh. No, you're right. I got to get back around and stay in Connecticut. And that's it. I don't know why I keep moving around. I keep moving around to these terrible places I end up hating. but Virginia has a special place in my heart for hatred. I hate it. It's just terrible. It's just,
for hatred.
It's nothing but yuppies and, you know, they have their expensive lifestyles and there's terrible restaurants and they just, their heads are in their phones and it's terrible. I hate it. They're very self-absorbed over here and superficial and, you know, I probably should have kind of knew that, you know, before coming here, but, you know, let's just say going to college in a city is totally different from working in a city, you know, especially 10 years later and terrible place. Terrible.
You know, it didn't sound like you were describing Virginia. It just sounded like you were describing L.A. or something just now.
I know. Virginia, to me, has changed a bit, too, and D.C. in itself. People are just so self-absorbed. And, it used to be, like, somewhat of a cultural area, a little bit different, but it's become so pricey and for young yuppie couples and, you know, hipsters.
And, well, speaking of hipsters, another thing I've noticed is that no matter where you go, you tend to always avoid New York City. It seems like the only city where you have not lived. Well, why is that?
You're correct. I have a lot of anxiety about New York City. Too many people living on top of each other. I just, you know, but it may be the only place that actually still has the realness. It may still only be the city that has that realness. Maybe I need to go to New York City. I don't know. Maybe I'll come on over.
There's a lot of hipsters here too. It's like the home of the hipsters, but it is still real at the same time. But I was thinking about today for Jesus's bachelor party, how when everyone was over here, how terrible a host I was. I had like everyone sleeping on the floor, on chairs. You know, I had no, I didn't give any blankets or towels or anything. And I cannot believe how inhospitable I was to you all. And I apologize. I apologize.
No, there's no apologies necessary because you know how terrible it became after New York. Actually, New York was the only sane time for that bachelor party that we had. And
where did you even sleep? Where did you sleep that night? On the
I don't even remember where I slept. I think I was on the floor someplace. And
I think actually, I slept in an alleyway. And didn't I sleep in an alleyway in Manhattan at some point?
I think you did. You did, and you fell asleep at the table. And he just was putting candles in your hoodie. And I really think that was the only sane night of the bachelor party, because when we went to Atlantic City, that's when things all went downhill. I didn't need to apologize. I think you actually tried to save the bachelor party. But what happened was you knew it was going to go downhill from there. And that's when it just went bonkers crazy.
Yeah, but I remember another time when Friedman stayed over, and I said, you know, I don't think I have any blankets for you. And he looked at me and he said, you serious? And that's when I realized, oh, well, I guess that's not polite of me to not offer any blankets. And then I ended up finding one for him, but it took his kind of attitude.
You were a good host. You were a great host. You brought us to that one bar with the bocce court inside.
Union Hall.
Yes, you brought us to that great sandwich spot with good beer.
Oh, Beer Craft.
And then you took us, and then we went bowling. We went bowling?
Yeah, Melody Lanes.
Actually, the only bad idea of that night was Jesus's, the one where he wanted to go to the freaking chocolate fondue place.
Ugh. Yeah, that I don't even remember because I was passed out.
That was Jesus.
But that first place you mentioned with the bocce, Union Hall, that place, they had a fire there, and they just reopened. They just reopened recently, so they were able to survive. And also, David Cross is doing sold out comedy shows there, like every Thursday for the rest of his life. So it seems like it's going. Business is pretty good there. But Beer Craft, that had the great beer and the sandwiches and stuff, I cannot say the same about. I believe that is shut down for good because I walked by there to try and get some non-alcoholic beer, and it was like, this place does not exist anymore. So that's gone. But the bowling alley's still there, and as far as I know, Pete the bartender's still there, even though he looks a lot older than he is. He's like 60-something. He looks like he's about 100.
Oh, my. What do you mean you think he's still there? You don't go there anymore? That was your spot. That was your place. That was your joint. That was your jam. That was your
You know, I go there when Mac is around. Like when Mac is around, we go and we see Pete. But I need to tell you a story about what happened with a friend of mine last night.
Okay, tell it. I want to hear this. Give it to me.
Okay. Let me try and think of what his name should be. For the purposes of this story, let's say his name is Lennox. No, that's a ridiculous name. Let's say his name is Mark. Mark. Mark.
Okay.
It's Mark.
Mark.
You know, that was a very loud beep. You know that from Rent. Okay, so last night, let me wet my my palate.
Okay. Okay. Wet your palate.
So last night.
That thing.
Oh. Last night, my friend Mark, lately he's been going into grocery stores and sandwich shops and Walmarts and stirring up shit with people and getting in all these fights. And so last night he sees his state representative, and the guy, so it's, you know, it's this kind of tubby, tall, bald guy, and his name is Scott Wiggum. And what happened was, Mark told me, He said that he went up to this guy in the Walmart and said, "Excuse me, are you Scott Wiggins?" And then the guy said, "It's Wiggum." And then Mark said, "That doesn't really matter." "Are you Scott Wiggins?" "It's Wiggum. That doesn't really matter." And then he said, and this may, you know, you may not like this statement because it's a bit, I think you'll find it to be a generalization, but just go with it. I think you'll enjoy the story as a whole. So right. Then he said that he said to this guy, Scott Wiggum, he said, "Republicans aren't pro-life, they're pro-birth. After that, they don't give a shit about you, and they don't give a shit that children are being murdered in school. You're a disingenuous cunt."
Oh, my God.
So he said that to his nine-foot-tall state representative. And then, so the guy, Wiggins, he said, "I'm offended by your language." And then Mark said, "I'm offended that you're more bothered by my language than you are by children being murdered, you cunt."
Oh, my God.
And he said, "I also told him to stop sucking NRA cock and do his job, and that I'll run against him next time and call him a cunt at the debate." And I asked, this was at Walmart? You just went up and started yelling at him? And Mark said, "Lol, yes, that's precisely what happened. He's a real piece of shit. I'm pretty sure I ruined his whole day, hopefully week. He hated every second of interacting with me. It was wonderful." And I asked him, like, "Well, what was he doing when you went up to him?" And Mark said, "He was looking at Doritos," which I also found odd. Why the fuck would you need to inspect Doritos? I think he left without buying anything. He walked away from his cart. I destroyed his night. And I said, so this guy, you know, he's shopping for Doritos, which should be a shameful purchase. You know, you should at least have the decency to be ashamed of the fact that you're buying Doritos. And if you're in government, an elected official, there are no circumstances under which you are publicly buying Doritos. And you are definitely, if you are not looking at them for an extended period of time like this cunt was, where he was looking at the spicy nacho and the Cool Ranch and just inspecting him. So Mark said that he found that odd. And I said, "What was in the cart anyway?" You know, the cart that the guy abandoned. And Mark said, random grocery shit, and some light bulbs I took because I needed some, and they're on the other side of the store. So he goes up to this guy, calls him the wrong name intentionally, Wiggins. It's Wiggum. That doesn't matter. Then he calls him a disingenuous cunt. This guy says, "I'm offended by your language. I'm offended that you're more bothered by my language than children being murdered, you cunt." And then threatens to call him a cunt at the next debate when he runs against him. And then he takes his light bulbs, but I don't know, man. I think maybe my favorite part of that is when he approached him and said, "Are you Scott Wiggins?" And he said, "It's Wiggum." And he goes, "That doesn't matter." What do you think of that?
Well, I think my favorite part is the fact that he took his light bulb.
Yeah.
He actually went there. He bullied the hell out of him. The guy left. And then he took his light bulb. I'm actually ashamed and disappointed that either one, he didn't engage in kind of a debate, or number two, that he just ignored him and went along with his grocery shopping. I mean, the guy didn't have to run away from his grocery cart. I mean, it just shows guilt right there. I think that's cowardice in some ways, but I think the funniest part easily is he took his light bulb.
What if that was the plot the whole time? Where he did all that just so he didn't have to walk back across the store to get new light bulbs?
I would say that is absolutely genius. Your friend Mark is a genius, and he should have a show like a Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's like a perfect, plot for that. That's perfect.
I've been saying that he should have cameras following him around, and he's hasn't done it yet. But I would really love to see these things filmed.
That should have made the news. I think that's phenomenal.
another time, he was at a grocery store a couple weeks ago, and there was some kid, some young punk, who was dicking around with the self-checkout machine. And so Mark said, you know, are you done yet? Because I gotta use that. And the kid said, oh, I'm almost done. I just need to do something. And Mark said, no, you don't. You're just wasting everyone's time, and what you're doing is unconscionable. And then the kid said, what does unconscionable mean? And then Mark said, it means you're being a cunt at the grocery store. And the kid walked away. But he has this, he is calling a lot of men and boys, cunts all over the place. So he has this, like, this new hashtag, CMC, call men cunts. And he's doing it. I think the most savage one was probably the state representative. And you said that he was bullying him, but you could also look at it the other way in that if what Mark is saying to the state rep about what the state rep is doing to his community, that he's the bully in that scenario. You know, you could look at it that way too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, so I agree. But a verbal, I mean, that's just obviously Mark is a bully. That's going up to somebody and saying, come on.
Not only that, but he went home and then he went home and he started writing all this stuff on that state representative's Facebook post.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I don't know why the state representative ran away. I mean, if he's got a position on things, he should talk about it. I mean, or
constituent.
Right, exactly. You know, the other thing is, I don't like Marco Rubio at all, but I saw him on that CNN town hall about the guns where they were absolutely destroying him. I mean,
yeah,
I felt uncomfortable for him just watching it, and but the guy stood his ground. You know, it's not like this representative who has this one guy bullying him and he runs away. And he took his life off.
That's true. Rubio did have, like, tens of thousands of people just berating him last night. And he stood there and he took it.
I would ever
compliment that cunt, but he took it.
As opposed to this guy,
yeah, who just ran away. He didn't even continue grocery shopping.
Yeah, and he left his groceries. He gave up on his groceries, man. I know, for one thing, if I'm going out to Doritos, and you're right, it's a shameful purchase. But if I'm going out just to get Doritos, I'm going to buy those damn Doritos no matter what happens. So this guy must have affected him so much so that he just left his groceries there. I don't know who does that. What do you do, run away crying?
I think so. I can't imagine a scenario where he enjoyed the rest of last night after that happened.
No, not at all. He must have went home crying to mama.
I think, yeah, mama. That's probably what he calls his wife. But he, but the other thing about this is, he's so quickly offended by the C word. If somebody came up to me in a Walmart and called me a cunt, I would laugh the hardest I have ever laughed in my life.
I agree. There's something about the C word, though, that it's so taboo. It's so strangely taboo. And in public, it just shocked everyone. It's just like on that Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where he said it.
Beloved aunt?
What?
Yeah, beloved aunt, where they type beloved cunt in the obituary?
Yes, and doesn't he call one of the guys a cunt too, and they become so offended?
The poker game, the HBO guy.
And they become so offended that it shuts down everything there. And he becomes, all of a sudden, he becomes like a misogynist, the pig, you know? And I love the word. I think it's hilarious. But a lot of people are just so offended by it. I don't understand it. You know, when they say much worse things, you know, it's hilarious.
Yeah. So funny. This guy clearly has no sense of humor and no backbone and is a cunt.
But I love Mark. I love Mark, what he's doing. I don't agree with what he's saying, but I think he's pushing the political envelope. I mean, he's getting into these people's faces and testing their, you know, true beliefs. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yep. Agreed. Agreed. Another thing that I wanted to discuss with you is I tried do you know the song by AJR, Sober Up, at all?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's the one where I ended up being in the tour video. I told you that, right?
No, you weren't in the tour video. Are you kidding me?
We didn't talk about this?
I know, that's the song with the guy from Weezer.
Exactly. Yes, Rivers Cuomo.
I don't remember you telling me about being in the tour video.
Okay.
No.
Well, before we get to that, let me just play you what happened when I tried to record a cover of Sober Up, and we'll see what happens here. You ready?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I don't know why the default is to have the metronome on in GarageBand. Much rather it be default off. That way, I don't have to go in and turn it off every time I come into the program.
Yeah, me too.
Even though there's some irony here because the song is from the album The Click, which references a...
Ooh!
Ooh!
Ooh! Ooh!
Farted three times. Gross. Oh, God, that's... Whoa. Heinous. Now, did you hear what happened?
No, what happened?
So just in between the woos, listen to what happens in between the woos. I'll play this one more time. I don't know why the default is to have the metronome on in GarageBand. Much rather it be default off. That way I don't have to go in and turn it off every time I come into the program, even though there's some irony here because the song is from the album The Click, which references a... Ooh! 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 Farted three times. Gross. Oh my God, I just did it again. When I paused the clip just now, I just farted again. So now you know what happened between the woos?
I heard some farting and I heard something drop. It sounded terrible. What's going on over there?
Yeah, I was farting. Let's play it one more time. It's a fart.
The default is to have the metronome on.
And here I kind of sound like Stephen Wright a little bit.
Much rather it be default off. That way I don't have to go in and turn it off every time I come into the program, even though there's some irony here because the song is from the album The Click, which references a...
Ooh! Ooh! Ooh!
Farted three times. Gross. Oh, God, that's... Whoa. Heinous.
Oh,
try this again.
That's incredible.
Whoa. Hello, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I hope that you're missing me.
Yeah, that's just a little preview of the song after all the flatulence.
That was pretty good. I liked that. That was pretty good. Hello. That's pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah, what happened was what?
Got a little of that like tropical flavor to it. I like it.
Oh yeah, kind of. It's a little Jamaican, kind of. No.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Yeah, Jamaican. Yeah.
Yeah, I once told that kid Jack, the youngest brother, that in another song of his of theirs, he sounds a little like Wyclef Jean. And I don't know that he appreciated that or not, but
good. I mean, he's a legend. He should.
Yeah, but didn't he create some fake charity for Haiti or something? And I mean, great musician,
yeah,
though.
We all have.
Yes, we all have. But yeah, the tour video, I was on the subway, and they released a tour video for Sober Up, their song that Rivers Cuomo from Weezer is featured on and wrote with them. And I get this message from the AJR Street team on Twitter, this direct message that she slid into my DMs, you know, and she said, she said, oh my God, check out minute whatever of this video. And she sent me the link, and like my eyes just like got all watery. I was so excited that, you know, I was, they show it, me in the video, handing my guitarlele over to them to sign. And then they show, and they show me outside too. And it was just so exciting. But do you know what time it is, John Weeks?
It's a hot mess award.
It is the hot mess award. Oh my God, who's the mess? Someone get you. Oh, love the mess, love the mess, love the mess. Please love the mess, love the mess, love the mess. And filling in for Tom Fogarty tonight is Mr. Ross Gallo. Ross, how are you?
How you doing? On time and ready to go.
Ross Gallo.
I'm so relieved that you're
that I made it on time. I'm in the car, but I'm still on time.
It's about time.
But you're not always there when you call, but you're always on time like Ja Rule.
That's right, exactly. I don't know anything that you're talking about, but I agree.
Okay, so I don't know if my text was clear or not, but do you have three hot messes that you can award tonight? Three people or things that are hot messes that you want to call out?
Wait, in like current events? What do you mean?
Anything, anything. So the first part of this is the hot mess awards, where
a
you
hot
give
mess.
Out.
Right now, I'll tell you a hot mess. I'm sitting right now on Hollywood Boulevard, stuck in bumper to bumper traffic. That's a mess. I got to cut through the hills to try and get around it.
What intersection are you at?
What?
What intersection?
I'm
Hollywood and Vine?
La Brea and Hollywood.
Oh,
get out of there.
Yeah, that's, so you're kind of on the west side.
No, I'm on the east side. Terrible. Horrible.
Get out of there.
All right, you know? So that's your first hot mess is L.A. traffic, which is quite predictable. What's your second hot mess?
Yeah, I'll tell you another hot mess. You're cutting in and out. That's another hot mess. I can't hear you.
Shit.
What?
Whoa.
I think that might be you, man.
That's probably
you,
me.
You, bro.
Yeah. It is
me. Weeks, have I been cutting in and out?
No, bro.
No, it's okay. Me. I'm looking. I got one bar, so if I cut out, it's my fault.
Oh,
I apologize.
Come on.
All right, so that's your second hot mess. And then what's your third hot mess and final hot mess?
Of the week or of the day, or what are we talking about here?
Of the year.
Anything.
Of the year? Man. I got stuff with work. I'm dealing with managers that are mishandling scenarios and giving me misconducts. And it's a whole mess. Oh, yeah.
You're in trouble? You're in trouble for misconduct?
Well, with a manager who thinks he's an FBI agent and is trying to, like, basically, like, investigate me that I did some wrongdoing, which is not true, and I had to call him out on. Oh, it's ridiculous. HR is involved. It's a mess.
Holy shit.
It's a bullshit.
Well,
it's BS.
Now we know too much. Are you guys lubed up and ready to joke off?
You know it.
I'm ready.
All right, let's open it up.
Different strokes to rule the world. That's how my dad does it.
Different strokes to rule the world.
9 inches. Damn. Holding. All right. All right,
from
Ross.
The ground.
From the ground. So, by the way, John Weeks, I don't know if you know or not, but Ross Gallo is quite a talented actor and comedian, and you can see him in several movies. Including one where he plays a therapist where, you know, he looks like he's about 18 years old and he's playing as a middle-aged therapist.
What movie was that?
It's called The Road Within. But my favorite is a movie called Careful What You Wish For, where the beard and glasses, I'm playing a lawyer. That was fun.
Oh.
Okay.
That's the one I was thinking. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that's the one. Here and there. Depends on what day of the year. I don't know. I could go
exactly.
That one. Yeah.
All right, buddy, kick us off.
All right, so I start the first joke then, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm kicking you off. Okay, let's do it. So third graders in Missouri are selling raffle tickets to win an AR-15 assault rifle, assault-style rifle, sorry, in order to raise money for their baseball team. And the second graders are auctioning off a hydrogen bomb to pay for their field trip to Chuck E. Cheese. Sorry, I'm
very
trying
well
to read this and drive at the same time, which is why there's pauses. It is me looking up at the car and looking down at the email.
Well, it's good for
God.
Timing, but that, yeah, you got to be careful. We'll make this quick. Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki faces backlash after suggesting Jewish perpetrators bore some responsibility for the Holocaust. Even Hitler said this guy went a little too far.
Ah, oh,
just a little.
Not yet.
35-year-old New Jersey rabbi Aryeh Goodman was arrested this week for allegedly sex trafficking an underage prostitute, piling on to his previous conviction for sexually abusing a minor. In response, the rabbi said, "Okay, yes, I sex trafficked this child. For the first one, I was just trying to suck out the blood during the brisk."
What is that accent?
Fantastic delivery. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Okay, so it's my turn. I'll go. Okay. Season 11 American Idol winner Philip Phillips can now make music again after long legal battles. It turns out his last name is his first name for plagiarism. We're having fun here.
Oscar winner Sally Field tried to set up her son on Twitter with Olympic figure skater Adam Rippon. Oh, I'd like to be set up with that guy. When her son found out, he ran across the country, grew a beard, and hung out with his former army lieutenant, who had no legs anymore.
Psychiatry, Irene S. Levine discusses in a new book what to do when you think your friend is about to marry the wrong person. He says to ride the sugar shield in a limo while watching Cop Out, take in a Mets game, and end up at a bar by the end of the night with everyone but the friend who's going to get married, so you can discuss with your other friends what needs to happen when they get divorced, and eventually head to Atlanta for their second wedding.
Sounds like a personal thing.
Sounds very familiar.
All right. Attorney General Jeff Sessions on Tuesday announced he would create a task force to work on better combating global cyber terror threats. He said he'd like the task force to be as productive preventing cyber terror as he as has been preventing the blacks from mixing in with the whites.
Something like that, yeah.
Let me say that line again because it cut off. He said he'd like the task force to be as productive preventing cyber terror as he has been preventing the blacks from mixing with the whites. Yeah, I got it in one shot there.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Serena Williams opened up in an essay for CNN Opinion about how she nearly died after giving birth and how she now wants to save other women. She went on to say, "Well, except for that one lines woman, I still want to shove a tennis ball down her throat."
That's a solid laugh.
A new report from USA Today this week shows that 94% of women in Hollywood have been sexually harassed or assaulted while working. Coincidentally, this is the same percentage for women who work in the White House.
The Florida House this week declared pornography a public health risk while rejecting having a debate on a proposed bill to ban assault rifles. The House did not take into consideration the fact that gun owners mostly jack off to their assault rifles.
And take us home, Weeksy boy.
Yes, sir. Singer Fergie is under fire after a breathy, bluesy Jessica Rabbit-esque performance of the Star-Spangled Banner at the NBA All-Star Game on Sunday. Even Hitler said Fergie went too far.
Yeah.
Things are going to get, oh, yeah. Oh, great one. This is a great one.
Yeah, look at that brass section.
Oh, child, things are going to get easier. Oh, child, things are going to get better.
Well, Ross Gallo, thank you so much for doing it. I know you are on a tight schedule. Got to get to work. You're driving. You're texting. You're calling. You're doing all this shit. Very dangerous, but we appreciate it.
What a blast that was. Have me back anytime. I very much enjoyed that. Thank you so much, guys, for having me.
Thank you, sir.
All right, man. Good to hear your voice. And I'm gonna text you later about whatever this work situation is. I want to know the juicy details. You can't stand the air.
I'm sorry I had to reveal that. I feel like that took us down a little bit in the show. Sorry for that.
No, it's real.
As long as it's real, it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll go through it with you. You know,
all right, I hope it all works.
But I'm not there. All right, I appreciate it. I think I'll be all right. I appreciate it.
All right, take
good
care.
Man.
Bye. Good man, Ross. Bye. Nice to see you, Weeks.
See ya. See you, sir.
All right.
I love that even Hitler would say
about Fergie?
I think your jokes are spot on. I love your jokes this time around. I love them.
See, I didn't feel good about these jokes at all when I sent them. I did not feel good about them at all.
Them.
Thank you.
They're very good. The first one killed me. The first one killed me about the hydrogen bomb.
I mean, it's a little ridiculous. You have elementary school students raffling off an AR-15. You know?
I know. You can love guns, but you shouldn't be giving guns to elementary. It's insane. I don't know what's going on out there. Sorry. They're nuts.
Oh, God. Yeah, but that thing about Hitler with Fergie, that's what you would call a callback, because it calls back to that second joke, you know.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's the best callback I've ever seen. I think I'm going to start using that, though. I would say, that's such a bad idea. Even Hitler would say that goes too far. I'm gonna say that from now on at work.
Yeah, I was gonna say, when you're at work, you should just say, "What? We have 3 meetings on Thursday. Even Hitler said that would be going too far." See what happens.
I'm gonna say that. I want to see what.
Yeah, just see what happens. Oh,
that's a great idea. I'm gonna say that.
Do you hear? I'm hearing an echo of myself. Do you hear that?
Now it's gone. Echo.
Now it's gone.
We need more echo.
Echo. Echo is a song by R. Kelly.
Really?
I can turn it to you right here, baby. Do it like crazy.
What the hell is R. Kelly?
All night long. See, echo, echo. Want to hear you echo. Where is he?
Echo.
Where is he? Well, do you remember that there was an article that came out in BuzzFeed about how he's allegedly basically a cult leader and running these running like a cult of underage girls?
Can you believe that? I don't believe that. Come on. That sounds ridiculous. R. Kelly? No.
I mean, out of all people, R. Kelly, out of all musicians, I would say that this would be a likely one to be hanging around with underage girls and making them do things that he wants them to do.
R. Kelly, I mean, he's a good kid.
He's my favorite artist. The best
artist.
Best song ever. Best song ever is the I Wish remix. Yeah, I've seen him in
concerts.
Yeah, I've seen him at several concerts. And then, after the BuzzFeed piece came out, I texted Lundy saying, "Hey, you want to go to this Kel show in Westchester? This might be our last chance." But he. At that point, he didn't want to go. But we saw him at Syracuse at the Landmark Theater after I post graduation. I actually stayed in Ross's room, the kid who was just on the show just now. I stayed in his room when I went back to visit Syracuse. Much better host than I am. You know, he had a blanket and futon, whatever. But I stayed in his room, and he was like, we got to watch Ignacio on SoapNet. And so each night we fell asleep to SoapNet, to General Hospital on SoapNet, trying to watch our old friend Ignacio.
What? Oh my God! R. Kelly is still one of the greatest R&B singers of all time. I mean, what are they trying to do? Kill him? I mean, his reputation? I feel like this is an assassination on his reputation. Ridiculous.
You do realize that he's in a videotape with a 14-year-old girl, like peeing on her and stuff like that.
Oh, that was so long ago. How long ago?
It was long ago. Now you sound like Dustin Hoffman. But, yeah, it was 2004, 2003, I don't know. And he was acquitted.
No,
he was acquitted.
But... He doesn't do that anymore. He only does that on animals.
On animals? Jesus.
Yeah.
Christ. Jeez. Yeah, it got real dark. But I went to... So last week, did I tell you that I went to the mountains last week?
No, you didn't tell me this. What the hell are you doing? You're going to the mountains now?
I told you this to work on the book, remember?
Oh, yes. You told me about the book. The book was amazing. You showed me some of the book. How much did you get done?
Why are you Chris Matthews all of a sudden? I got a tingle in my leg. So here's what happened. Every week for the last 7 years, basically, I've written on a to-do list, write book. Unfortunately, that's not how it works, right? You can't just write the whole book in one weekend, but that's how my mind works. Same thing with alcohol. I'm either totally drunk or totally sober, and there is no fucking in between for me. So, it really takes a lot of discipline in this case. This is why it's taking so fucking long. But, you know, the good part of that is that there have been several weddings in the 7 years since I was initially recommended to write it by my friend Rob Biederman. I haven't been able – so the last couple weekends I've really tried to get stuff done, and then I just didn't. You know, I was very – there were some – I mean, most of it was – in my control that I screwed it up and procrastinated and stuff, but there were some elements out of my control. Like one time when I went to go write at my favorite cafe, I got there, the cafe had shut down. It was awful. Oh. So then there was another, like, shut down for good. So then there was another cafe that had opened up by the park, by Sunset Park, where I live. And so I was going there for a while. Place was always busy, always hopping. And I go there to get stuff done a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I think. And I get there on a Sunday, and the gate is down. And I'm like, what the hell? Why aren't they open? And then I check Facebook, and it said, we thank our patrons and friends for the last 2 years. It's been great and blah, blah, blah. And so these things, like, keep fucking happening. And these are places, like, all this shit in my neighborhood is opening up and closing down and opening up and closing down. So so then I decided, well, maybe I should look into writing retreats. So then I, like, Googled, like, writing retreats and stuff. And it just, like, all the official ones seem like a whole thing. Like, you got – other people you have to talk to and activities and stuff. And it seemed like that was kind of counterproductive. So then I was like, well, what if I do kind of a self-imposed writing retreat and go to maybe the woods, maybe the mountains, maybe just a hotel room by the ocean in the freezing cold. And I eventually decided on this place in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, that was called, it was a resort and spa place, but it was like I want it to not sound so white, because it was, it was not as yuppie as you would think. But anyway, what happened was, here's where some other things went wrong. On the, so I drove there, and on the drive there, I'm on some some highway in New York State, and I notice some guy is following me very, very closely. So then I think I kind of speed up to get a little ahead of him so he can do what he needs to do. And then when he keeps following closely, I get into the other lane so that he can pass me, but then he gets behind me. And I'm thinking this is a civilian terrorizing me. I don't think that this is a police officer, but then the sirens go off, the lights go off, he pulls me over, he comes up, and he's got a lot very bad skin. I'm so sorry, but he is very bad. He has a lot of bumps on his face. You know how, like, a lot of brothers, they get bumps on their fascicles sometimes from shaving and shit? Yeah, so he had that. So he came up to me, and he goes, license and registration, please. And I was like, well, it's a rental car, so I don't really know where anything is, but here's the license. I don't know if this is the registration. Actually, that's not the registration. All right, don't worry about it for now. And then he takes my license and goes back into his car. And I'm thinking, like, you know, he's probably going to give me a ticket, but if life was fair, he would see that I haven't gotten a speeding ticket since I was 20 years old, and that was a decade and a half ago. And maybe that would count for something. But then he comes back and he's like, all right, I am giving you a ticket for, he also asked me how fast I was going. And I'm telling you, Weeks, I never saw the speedometer go past 72. And he told me I was going 80 across two towns. And I said, you know, it's a hybrid car. I don't know if the speedometer is different in this car. And he looked at me like I was lying, of course, but I wasn't. But there's no way, there's no reasoning with a cop in that position because he has all the power. I wielded no power in that situation, and he looked at me like I was lying to him, so which I wasn't. I'm not saying that the car didn't go 80. I'm saying that I had no knowledge of the car going 80 because the speedometer did not tell me that it was going that fast. So so then he gave me the ticket, and he was like, if you want to plead guilty or not guilty, and you just do this by March, whatever, and I said, all right, so if the thing is if it's showing me 70 and I'm really going 80, then if I'm trying to go 60, should I be going 50? And he looked at me like I was an asshole again. And he said, well, you were in the passing lane for a bit. So, you know, right lane's for driving, left lane's for passing. And so maybe just try and stick to the right lane, drive safe. And then he drove off. I drove very slowly. I also had not had any real coffee that day, and I really needed coffee at this point, especially after the pullover. And and another thing about these New York tickets is they don't tell you how much they are. Most New York tickets, I guess I looked into it, are $150, but they don't tell you. So, like, they should just fucking say it on the ticket, which they don't.
I agree.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So then I go and I pull up, and it's like, oh, food and gas this way. And I get off in Rhinecliff, which I've been to before. Had a very nice time in Rhinecliff. Samantha Sizek's wedding was there. That's a wedding where I gave a speech where I wasn't a groomsman or best man or anything. It was good. So I get off there, and I'm driving and driving and driving and driving. And, oh, my God, there's no food. There's no gas. I'm just trying to find a fucking cup of coffee. And and finally, I pull into this, like, this area that had this wonderful cafe. And I had a wonderful I was also very hungry, a wonderful sriracha egg something or other with avocado. Is it avocado or avocado? It had avocado. And sriracha,
avocado.
It had lettuce and tomatillo, and it was just delicious. So I had that. I had the iced almond milk latte. Everywhere had almond milk, which was great because, you know, my lactose intoleration with the pep. A great cafe. Then I get back and I go. I'm driving to the place. It's a resort, ski resort kind of place, and so I get there. I check in, I drop my shit off in the room, and I had been driving 3 hours and really just wanted to see I wanted to go to the gym and then go into the hot tub at the spa. Right. And the gym was right near all the other shit. So what I did was I went and I ran on the treadmill and did some other weird shit at the gym on the mats. And then I went into the spa area, and then get changed and stuff. And I finally, and I'm in a bathing suit, and I finally see, oh, there's the hot tub. And what do I see but an old, fat, completely naked man in the hot tub. And I just think to myself, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's so gross. I don't want to be in there with all his duck butter and fecal particles and stuff. And then I in the steam room, also naked old fat men in the steam room. And, it's never hot young guys. It's always old, naked, fat men, always. And I just don't know how it's – I would have never booked this place if I knew that it was nude in that area. So, me and a lot of the younger guys, we all kept our fucking trunks on the entire time. And these assholes, they had no respect for other people, putting their shit all over the place and the duck butters and unsanitary. So that was very gross. And I did go back there. I did go back to the spa the next 2 days because I paid for it and stuff, and I went. But I kept on avoiding whenever there were naked old men. I don't know if the women in the women's locker room spa area, I'm wondering if they are totally naked in there, because it just doesn't – I don't know. Anyway, then I went back to the then I went to get dinner at the at what I thought was where the dinner was being served, but there was renovations going on at this particular restaurant, and this guy's in there, and he's working on something, and I said, hey, is this place closed? And he said, oh, yeah, we're doing renovations now, but if you go to the mansion, you want to go to the mansion, they got dinner over at the mansion. And I was like, oh, what's that building called again? And he says, oh, the mansion? Yeah, just go over to the mansion. It's just you want to get drive up the hill, and then they'll serve you dinner at the mansion. The mansion. And this guy was on the floor looking like a lunatic. The mansion. And then I went over. I drove over to the mansion, and I had dinner, and the busboy, maitre d' guy, whatever he was, who seated me, was very attractive, and he seemed, from my gaydar, he seemed like he might be in the choir, and I thought he looked like a Patrick Wilson with dark hair without the muscles, is kind of what he looked like. So basically nothing like Patrick Wilson, but still, I was like, how am I gonna get this guy's attention? And I thought, like, do I just go up to him? What do I do? I'm very bad at this stuff, but at the end of the night, as I'm walking out, he is carrying a high chair going back into the restaurant with a high chair. And something about that very much intimidated me. So what I did was I just left my Blazin' Rye radio card on the podium where he was standing beforehand.
Okay.
And ran out of there. And then I was thinking, like, oh, shit, that'll never work. Like, that will never be the fact that I just, left it there, it could be like I'm doing an advertisement or something, not that I'm trying to give him my number.
Right.
So then I left there, and I thought, well, that'll never work. And then I go back, and I think I start writing, typing on the thing, on the computer, on the laptop there at the hotel room. And then, in terms of the writing, it was productive. I got one totally new chapter done, a half a new chapter done, and then finished two older chapters, including Jesus's wedding, which was, I never thought would be done. So Saturday, while I was there, I had this waitress at breakfast, named Amy. And I was charged $12 or something. The next day, I had a much fatter waitress, and I don't know her name, but she charged me $24. So when I got the bill, I was like, why is this twice as much as it was yesterday? And she said, oh, who was your server? Was it Kevin? And I said, no, Amy. And she said, oh, okay, let me go ask her. And then she went and she asked Amy, and then the waitress comes back and says, yeah, apparently she thought you were cute, and she gave it to me for $12 again, right? So then what I did was, again, I left my Blazin' Rye card and I wrote on it, and I wrote on it, please give it to Amy, and I left it in the check. And then when I walk out that time, I'm like, wait a second. That Patrick Wilson guy and Amy, they work at the same place. So now, you know, I got these two cards floating around with a boy and with a girl and with two, and it's two different cards, the same restaurant, although they were always there different shifts. He was there at night, she was there during the day, and I couldn't imagine them being there at other times. So then the third night I was there, I was thinking, God, I should not have booked three nights, and I wanted to get the fuck out of there. Another reason for that was because Grindr there was just awful. Usually when I travel places, you know, it's a good way to bang a new person. And this, it was impossible. It was completely impossible. And I should have deleted the app entirely, you know, before I even went there to get productive. But instead of reproductive, you know what I mean? But I went anyway. So that was awful. And anyway, the third night I thought, okay, I want to get the fuck out of here. What do I do? And so I was like, all right, let me just go and get dinner at the mansion. And after that, I'll decide whether I stay or not, because the room was paid for, you know. So I go to the mansion. The hot bus boy was there again, and then this time what I did was, I rather than a Blazin' Rye card, I had another card on me where it said K thanks bye on one end, and then on the other end I wrote my name, Ryan, and then I wrote my number, and I was like, should I go up to him? I don't know if, this is so awkward. I think I even kind of lingered around a little bit and stuff. It looked very creepy.
Right.
And then I left, I walked outside, but then, and I remember this woman at the front was very approachable, but this man who was with her was not. And I needed the man to go away so I could leave the number with the woman. So finally, the bald-headed cunt walked away, and I went up to the lady, and she was so I said to her, so the skinny bus boy who kind of talks like this, and she said, yes, James, yeah. Yes, I said, would you mind just giving him this? And she said, oh, sure, yeah, you know, he'll be right back, but I'll get it to him. And I said, okay, thank you. He's just out for a smoke, but I'll get it to him. I said, thank you. So then when I start back to the hotel, I'm thinking, well, now I've left three cards, all with the same number on them, that are just floating around that same restaurant to two different people. And what have I done? And then I go back to the hotel room, and I'm like, well, now I need to wait and see if this plays out at all, if he texts me or not. And so I write a half a chapter about Jenna and Alistair's wedding. And at the end of that, as much as I could write that night, I just said, all right, so it's 10 o'clock now. If I leave now, and I was all packed up already. If I leave now, I could get back to New York around 1 or 2. So I ended up leaving at 10:12 that night and getting back to my place around 2 a.m. I drove so slowly, so slowly. And I also, like, while I was there, I Googled speeding ticket attorney and stuff. And one of the first things that comes up is this app that's dedicated solely to traffic tickets. So I ended up retaining an attorney because I didn't feel comfortable pleading guilty to this particular scenario. And so that was, you know, a little more expensive than the ticket probably would have been, but you got to think about the points on your license and insurance and all those things. So there's that, you know, so it could end up being more money in the end. So I did what I had to do there, but also while I was there, I got like three or four notifications that I had made purchases at Wawa in Elizabeth, New Jersey, one for $100.
one for 92.38, another one for like $15, and then there was another one for $1. And so I had to call Capital One, and they had to send me a new card. Oh, and the lady said so many times, she said, okay, and I'm going to FedEx it to your place, and you will not need to sign for it. Guess what? The last two times I've come home, the last 2 days, there's a fucking FedEx note on the door saying that signature is required. I don't know why she told me that so many times. Oh, you will not need to sign for it. Anyway, so I had my credit card information stolen. I got a speeding ticket. I mean, it was such a – I had to – and like I said to Frank, my fitness coach last night, I said, you know, I really should always leave a day to decompress. And he said, only you would say you need to decompress from your vacation. But it's true.
Absolutely. This trip, from what you're telling me, is an adventure. I mean, you can write, this could be the the first chapter of your book, actually. It's amazing, you know, about writing this book. It's an adventure. I love that you left cards with the restaurant staff, three cards. It's amazing. I love it. You established a pattern. I love it. And, you know, the naked dudes. It's just amazing. It just keeps going on. Then you got a ticket. I'm sorry you got a ticket. Don't worry about it, because I got a ticket in Buffalo, and they're expensive. And I think that was a very smart move of you to get an attorney, because the points will kill you. And I know New York, they were going to give me, they gave me like 3 points. Actually, I was dumb. I should have got an attorney to represent me in the court, because I think it was like $150, $162, but the points was 3 points. So.
And did your insurance go up?
That was a smart move. Yes, it did. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
About $400. So you made a smart move. And it still sounds like a great adventure. You know, you didn't get the bang, but you know, you had a hell of a time, and you got a couple chapters done on this book, which I think is going to be the most epic book of all time.
Okay, it's not the Iliad or the Odyssey, but
It's better than that. Forget about that.
You said you're the second person who suggested to me to put all the shit that happened on. I think it was Ross, actually. Ross, the other day when I texted him, he's the one who also said, I told him about everything that happened. He said, ha 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 ha, put that in the book about everything that happened.
You really should, because I feel like all the forces of nature are against you in writing this book.
Yeah.
Something about this doesn't want this in written form. And therefore, you're doing this is one of the most courageous acts of mankind of all time.
Forces of nature, and yet I go right into the nature. I should have stayed in the city.
Yeah, you did. You went in there and you battled it. You got a ticket. You had to endure a bunch of old naked men.
Ugh.
You had to go into this restaurant and leave your card there 3 times. all of this is amazing. I love it. I just love it. I think this would be an amazing book. I'm not kidding around. Forget about the Iliad. Forget about the Odyssey. Homer doesn't know what he's talking about. Homer don't play that.
Homer don't play that game. but you know, nobody texted. Neither Patrick Wilson nor Amy. Nobody texted. So that sucks.
They're a bunch of crazies over there. Come on, dude. I think that was for the best. They're crazy.
Also,
they're a crazy group over there.
It was also
a little weird.
You know the Berkshires?
Yeah, I've been to the Berkshires a couple of times. My parents were foolish enough to think that was a fun place to go vacationing every once in a while. Terrible place. Awful. There's like nothing going on over there.
Weird, because they do have like art and stuff and museums and stuff there, but there is zero artistic vibe about it from what I got.
Correct.
You know, it's got no vibe. It's not like New Haven. Like, it's, you know, you can feel the art in New Haven.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. And there's a very scary mall there that I went to probably about 10 years ago, and they had just put out Men in Black 2, the one with Michael Jackson, even though that had been out probably for 10 years. it was a very eerie mall. The whole thing about it was very eerie.
Yeah.
It's a scary place. Very scary place. Who went there? Nasserino went over there. He went to school, like some school called MCLA or something like that. I don't know. Whatever. Over around there. It's a scary area. Scary place.
Yeah, I would not go back, especially with the naked geezers. But
I'm going to try to get you a, you know, what do they call it? You said it before, like a retreat in Vermont. That's where I think you should go. In the middle, in the dead of winter, you should go to Vermont and spend a whole weekend there writing this book.
You know, Vermont never crossed my mind. New Hampshire crossed my mind. Even New Jersey crossed my mind. But Vermont never crossed my mind for some reason. Rhode Island crossed my mind.
You've got to be in the most desolate, isolated place ever. Almost on the verge of, I don't know, something terrible.
Suicide.
It's a terrible place. I think that's the best way to write. You'll write your best. You know, when you're so depressed.
But I also, like, yeah, I'll have to give myself a medically induced depression. But I also realized when I was driving up there and in the boondocks in New York, you know, surrounded by those asshole state troopers, I remembered how I hate every place that's not a city. And I was like, oh, yeah. Why the hell am I going to the fucking mountains? I should be going to a city. Maybe I should be going to Albany or something. I should be going to, you know, it doesn't matter how shitty a city is, unless it's, I wouldn't go to Newark, but still.
You're right, though. I think you are a city man, and you know, maybe you have to go to another city. You're right.
Yeah.
I really think you will like Burlington. I'm not kidding around. Have you been to Burlington, Vermont?
I've been to Burlington Coat Factory.
Oh, what is? You gotta go to Burlington, Vermont. I think you would like it. I think you would love it.
Really?
You'd love
okay.
It.
How do you think?
Yeah,
how do you think? How do you think? How do you think the boys on Grindr will be there?
I think you'll actually be somewhat impressed. There's a UVM, University of Vermont, right there. There's a lot of kids
That's
there.
Good.
Not kidding.
What?
Not kidding, you know, people are our age. People are sorry. and actually, they have a very nice main street. It's beautiful. I think you would love it. Seriously. And yes, the scene, the dating scene would be pretty good, I think. It's, you know, it's Vermont. They're very they're ultra liberal. You have plenty of colleges around there. And there's a lot of good young people like ourselves. Good kids.
I guess so. By the way,
like
that. Well, yeah, I'll look into it. My friend Mark texted me. He was listening to my description, and he said, thank you.
No.
That was, he said, that was wonderful. Thank you. And then he said, I'll tell you, a hot mess. Just walked into locker room, and this old cunt had her balls clapping in my face. Told her to wrap that shit up. She was nearly in the lobby. I'm going to read this again. I'll tell you, a hot mess. Just walked into locker room, and this old cunt had her balls flapping in my face. Told her to wrap that shit up. She was nearly in the lobby.
This Mark fella is a real bully. I'm scared to meet this Mark fella.
Oh, God. And what's your favorite scene in She's the Mermaid Feature Made of Bane's Mane of Mane?
All right, so my favorite scene is She's a Member for Minna Baines, man. It's got to be when Minna Baines plays this wise old green guy.
Oh, God.
And it goes something like this. Remember, a Jedi shrink both from the Force, but beware anger, fear, aggression, the dark side are they. Once you start down the dark path, forever it will dominate your destiny. Luke, do not underestimate the powers of the Emperor, or suffer your father's fate, you will. Luke, when gone am I, the last of the Jedi will you be. Luke, the Force runs strong in your family. Pass on what you have learned, Luke. There is another Skywalker. That's my favorite scene. She's the second favorite scene.
Yeah. All right.
What's your favorite scene? She's the favorite face mate.
You sounded like Bobcat Goldthwait doing Krang.
Look at those turtles.
Not, toilet turtles.
Oh, by the way, with Friedman, when I was writing about Friedman's wedding, I had to text him. I said, hey, what was the flavor of that toilet cake that we ate? And I was texting him about it, just like matter of fact about toilet cake. And I said, it was chocolate cake with vanilla icing and berry sauce or something. And then eventually he said, at my wedding? And I said, yeah, the toilet cake that we ate. And he said, toilet cake, right. Yep, chocolate cake, vanilla ice cream, berry sauce. Sounds right to me. I don't think that you call that berry sauce, though. But it might be in the book that way. Like Kevin Diamond said that night. Oh, that toilet cake was delicious. So, my favorite scene in She's a Main Man feature Amanda Bynes main is from She's a Main Man feature Amanda Bynes main : Bridesmaids, where Amanda Bynes plays a bridesmaid, and her name is Megan, and she says, I think you're ready to hear a little story about a girl named Megan who didn't have a very good time in high school. I'm referring to myself when I say Megan. It's me, Megan. I know you look at me now and think, boy, she must have breezed through high school. Not the case, Annie. This was not easy growing up and down the halls with. They used to try to blow me up. People used to throw firecrackers on my head in high school. Firecrackers, literally, not figuratively. They called me a freak. Do you think I let that stop me? Do you think I went home crying to my mommy? Oh, I don't have any friends. I did not. You know what I did? I pulled myself up. I studied hard. I read every book in the library. And now I work for the government and have the highest possible security clearance. Don't repeat that. I cannot protect you. I know where all the nukes are, and I know the codes. You would be amazed. A lot of shopping malls. Don't repeat that. I have 6 houses. I bought an 18-wheeler just because I could. You lost, Lillian. You got another best friend sitting right in front of you if you'd notice. You need to stop feeling sorry for yourself. I do not associate with people that blame the world for their problems because you're your problem, Annie, and you're also your solution. You get that?
Ooh.
I know you do. I know you do. Come on. Bring it in. And that's my favorite scene of She's a Man-Man Future Man. Bang, bang, bang.
Wow.
Yes.
Very well done. That was very well done.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
That was great. I like it.
Yes.
Now you make me want to see the movie.
Have you not seen Bridesmaids?
I've not. I'm the only loser that hasn't seen it.
It's very funny. You know, Melissa McCarthy, she was nominated for an Oscar for it. A comedian nominated for an Oscar in a comedy movie. It was, revolutionary. It was great.
She's a comedian cunt.
That was unnecessary. I don't know why I said that. But what do you think about this?
I have
one more order of business here. Let me just, what do you think about this?
A lady doesn't wander all over the room and blow on some other guy's dice. Go! So
let's keep the party polite!
Nice and polite, not bad.
Never get out of my sight!
Keep her close.
Stick with me,
like
baby!
Like flypaper, baby!
The fella! You came with,
yeah.
Love be a lady.
Bum, bum.
Love be a lady.
And let it go now.
Love be a lady. Good night.
I think I'm going to have nightmares after hearing that.
And then, speaking of nightmares, what happened very shortly after that was this.
There we go.
What do you think about that laugh?
I think wait, he should have played Pennywise the Dancing Clown in it.
I thought you said Betty White the Dancing Clown.
Even better. Even better with Gilbert Gottfried. voice. Oh my God, it's amazing.
and Betty White's body.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, that's a little degraded.
All right, I can think of no better way of ending the show than by saying, if it ain't showbiz, it ain't a biz. Apologies to Betty White. We ran out of time. Hit the brakes, Florence. And
somebody owes me a martini.
And if you have a Barbie doll, what are you going to do with that thing?
Well, if you know she's marrying the wrong person, what you got to do is you got to take a ride to Citi Field in a limo while watching Cop Out. Take her to a Mets game and end up at a bar by the end of the night with everyone but her talking about who she's going to get married to, discussing with other friends what needs to happen when she gets divorced. And eventually, head to Atlanta for her second wedding.
Very, very nice callback. You're learning.
I'm learning slowly but surely.
Good night, Weeks. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.